So now we're delighted to introduce our next guest, Mary Wilson. She is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. She's a best-selling author. She's a singer, performer extraordinaire, founding member of the 1960s Motown hitmakers, The Supremes. She performed last night at the Egyptians. She'll be there tonight and Saturday night at 8 p.m. Welcome to the program, Mary.
Hi, good to be here with you guys. Hi.
It is great to have you here.
We are high. We're about 7,000 feet. How's that feel?
No, and let me tell you, because as you mentioned, we did a show last night where we flew in, and no one was accustomed to the altitude.
Yes.
So I was running a little bit late, as I usually am, and I had to come up the stairways to get to the stage, right? And I ran upstairs. When I got up there, I was so out of breath, I couldn't sing Love Child, which is our first
song. Of
course. Couldn't hardly get through it because I was like, Love Child. And I was like, I had to say, wait just a minute, folks. Can I get some water or something or some oxygen or whatever? Those little cans you guys carry around. In L.A., in Hollywood, we carry around the water bottles. Here they carry around the cans, right? The oxygen.
At Egyptian Theater, they did start putting the oxygen out for the performers. And you're not the first performer ever to respond to that. So the audience knows.
Well, when I get tonight, what I'll do is I'll come upstairs about 10 minutes earlier and just sort of sit for a minute and drink a lot of water and oxygen. And then I'll be okay. But last night, I wasn't aware, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's great to be back here. And it's just the people were wonderful last night. They were standing up, cheering and shouting and singing. Ladies came on the stage. Oh, it was just amazing. It was wonderful.
And I'll be there Saturday night.
Okay.
And I can't wait, Mary. This
well,
is
I'll wear
be
my
fun.
Pretty gown for you then.
You I, have I,
that was one of my questions.
You have the most beautiful outfits.
Yes, we do. And I have a tour that I take around in the gowns. With the gowns, we go to various museums and all. Mm-hmm. In fact, it opened up at the Victorian Albert's Museum in London a couple years back, and now they're just traveled at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You mentioned that. So they're there for a while. It's really a wonderful thing to have your gowns tour, and you don't have to tour as much.
Yeah.
Well, at 75, well, I'm not quite 75 yet. I'll be 75 March 6th. So, you know, it's good to have the gowns do some of the traveling.
Well, you look 50.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Well, I feel 15.
Oh.
Well, see, that's backwards because I'm dyslexic. So it would be right. You're right on the money.
So you pretty much started at 15. So it's a full circle.
Yeah, we did. We started, actually, the Primettes, Diane, Flo, and I, and Betty. We were four back in those days. And we started in 1959. We were about, I think, 13 or 14. So you're right close to it.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy to me to think that you're out performing, touring as teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
One, that your parents let you go. I know it's a different time, but.
Well, they did not let us go. In fact, let me tell you the story about that. How much time? We don't have a lot of times. But anyway, so what happened was we were so young. We signed with Motown in 1961. I think we were 16 at the time. And so we couldn't tour. We couldn't go out maybe on the weekends. We did record hops. Remember the record hops days? Yeah.
But just to note,
she was pointing at JW when she said
Barry
that.
Did Barry want you to wait until you graduated from high school and you decided to sign anyway?
No, you're right half of it, because what happened was that when we signed at 16, he said he did not want to sign us, because he said, come back and see me when you graduate from high school. But
right.
We didn't do that. What we did was every day we would go to Motown and sit outside of Hitsville building. We see Mary Wells. Hey, Mary Wells. We see Mary Jeff. Oh my God, the Miracles. You know, we sit out there like that. And so pretty soon someone said, we don't have the background singers. They're not here. We need some hand clappers. We said, we'll do it. That's how we got in the door. And then he eventually signed us. We were so persistent. So also I want to mention that this is the Supremes 60th anniversary, right? When we started, but no one mentions that, because now it's really Motown's 60th anniversary.
That's
so
right.
That's what everyone's talking about. But we, the Supremes, are having our 60th anniversary.
But you guys made Motown.
Well, let me tell you. And so now we did, the Grammys did an award to Motown. It's called the Motown Tribute. It'll be aired in April. And it's about, you know, the 60th anniversary of Motown. So myself, Claudette, the first lady of Motown, of the Miracles, were sitting together, and Otis Williams of the Temps were sitting there too as well. And we really didn't get a mention on the show. So, yeah, I know.
So but we're anyway. Mentioning it here.
That's why I'm mentioning it. I thought the best thing was mentioned on yours. But the show is still great, though. I mean, it's really good. I think John Legend is on it. This girl from The View is on it. There's a lot of people on it. And Diane was on as well. Smokey, of course, was hosting with Citric there, and somebody else was on too. Anyway, there you go.
I want to mention that or bring up that Motown and your whole career probably the performance was more than just the song, right? It's it's the outfit, the choreography, the hair. It's the whole show aspect, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. But do you ever look at musicians now on stage and think, really? You brought like a hat and some jeans and like
T-shirt,
you know. And I think I look at them and think it's a show. Was that the best you could do?
Well, let me. At my age, I agree with you, but also let's look back. Well, you're a little too young to do it still, but let's look back at our parents when rock and roll and we were just coming up, and they were saying this is rock and roll. I mean, look at them, you know. So we got the same thing going on now.
I'm being my parent.
However, yeah, you're right. But however, I'm agreeing because I'm sort of that way now. That now it's come full circle around again, and now these young kids are out there. And so I mean, I think there's lots of talent. I think that God, whoever you know, gave is still given talent, but. As you mentioned, they don't have they don't have a Berry Gordy or Motown behind them. Where we had a place there called the Artist Development, and we were groomed, but we were also very well mannered because our parents. We came from, you know, good homes where our parents taught us all these wonderful things. You know, Aretha Franklin passed. We talked about that. You know, we came from our parents would go to church. Our moms with the big hats. You know, they dressed to the nines. You know, all those kind of things. And we came from that. Motown and always taught us how to be, you know, well dressed, and you could set Motown artists apart from any other artists if we were on with all kind of artists back in the day, and but you could always tell a Motown act because we were, you know, our choreography, everything was, you know, just wonderful.
Produced.
So I think today what's lacking is not the talent of the young artists. It's just that the direction that, you know, I don't know. No one's really. Maybe I should start a school. A supreme school.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
Berry Gordy.
It's your show, honey. It's your thing.
Do what
you want to do. Oh, I'm sorry.
So Berry Gordy worked at Ford Motor Company.
Yes,
Ford
he did.
Motor Company really pioneered the assembly line in putting these things together. It almost seems like he designed Motown to be a high-performance hit-making machine similar to the Ford assembly line. You had your PR on one level. You had your singers on one level. You had your recording studio on one level. You had your writers up in one other level. Was that kind of what he did?
Well, yeah, I think that everyone should. I forgot to turn my phone off when you mentioned Berry Gordy. He might be calling.
Is Barry on the phone?
Yes, he might be calling, so
we'll
I better make sure. I know I better turn it off. Okay, there we go. So anyway, I believe that everyone should take from their background or whatever they've done. So I'm pretty sure that part of his mentality and how he wanted to run it was probably coming from his background in the automotive business.
Yeah.
And it was good for us. But I got to say something for the artists. You know, although we all come under the umbrella of Motown, every individual artist is as great as whatever. In fact, Elton John and I were talking about this. He is Elton John, but all of us are the Supremes with Motown, or Motown's Supremes, or the Temptations Supremes. You know what I mean? So that what you just said is kind of what
it's
kind of that. But I think it was a good thing in many ways because, you know, I think young people really do need some sort of direction. In fact, the first time we did a Motown Review tour, Supremes weren't on it. We were too young. But one of the musicians, Bings Bowles, who was one of the great musicians with Funk Brothers, came back and he said to Barry, man, he says, you know, the show is great, but those young teenagers out there, they were coming on chewing gums and slopping on the stage, you know, and things like that. And that's where that idea of really grooming and taking them into artist development. So, you know, that's why I was saying people came in and they brought their ideas to Barry. And Barry was very, you know, he was the type of person who said, okay, yes, let's use that. So it was really a good thing, but you're right.
I can't even begin to understand how many of your songs I've danced to. And but,
did you get married to, you know, what? No.
No, I didn't, no. But Love Child, someday we'll be together.
He still has time.
Come yeah, see right. about me. Where yes. did our love go? Baby yes. love, you can't hurry love. You keep me hanging on. Back in my arms again. Mm-hmm. I mean, this thing, you had 12 number ones. You had a zillion number 20s.
Yes.
I mean,
you we just were had... always in the top 10, top yeah. 20. HDH, Holland Dozier Holland. So I've mentioned Barry Motown. Of
great
course,
writers.
That was the, yeah. And so they did all of our earlier hit records. Mm-hmm. And the 70s, then we had Frank Wilson, who you know, did we had the Stone Love and Up the Ladder to the Roof. Everybody's Got the Right to Love. But in the 60s, Holland Dozier Holland were our producers, and they were just wonderful to work with. And I must tell you that in the 60s, the first five, we had five consecutive number ones. And so it was like the Beatles Supremes. We would fight for that number one position, you know. The Supremes were... I would say on the same line as the Beatles in terms of the popularity in the 60s and breaking barriers and doing all these wonderful things. George Harrison and I talked about that many years later, and he was saying, yeah, every time we would get a record, you guys would get come right under us, and now say, you guys would come and jump over us. And so it was really a wonderful kind of... time and for girls, you know, there weren't a lot of girl groups who were doing well. So, and kind of the Supremes have dropped out of the polls a lot, and I'm not happy about that, you know. So you hear the Rolling Stones and the Beatles, you don't hear a lot about the Supremes, and I'm not thrilled about that, okay? So I'm trying to, you know, bring us back into the polls where we should be, because not anyone of the girls who had that many number one records. Not hardly anybody else had that many except the Beatles.
I'm with you.
Yeah, right? So I'm coming out with my fourth book. Well, it's my third book called Supreme Glamour. It's about our gowns.
I'm digging the outfits.
I knew you would laugh. And so it's called Supreme Glamour. It should be out in the UK. I think they said May. And then here in the States in September. So I'm trying to keep the Supremes where they should be, because, you know, we, as you mentioned, it was the records, but it was also our look that would set us apart from everybody else.
Let's talk real quickly about what the show at the Egyptian will be like for people who still haven't got their tickets.
Okay, if you haven't, honey, you better come, because we're going to be singing probably all 12 of the number one records. Well, I Hear a Symphony. And we're doing, I do some Rolling Stones songs. I do Sting.
Is there storytelling involved too?
I do, because my whole show is about storytelling. I mean, I do, it's kind of like a book, you know, it's a live documentary. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We're about to button the show, so I just want to thank our sponsors quick.
Sure.
But Mary, stay right there. Don't move.
Okay.
Squatters Roadhouse Grill and Wasatch Brew Pub, mm-hmm. A San Francisco Design, the Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
Mm-hmm. You got to thank the sponsors, honey, because
we
wouldn't have. Okay, I thank mine every
day. Okay, and how many costume changes in a show?
Probably just two.
All right.
We are delighted to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
And I'll see you Saturday night.
I see you. I'm going to wear my silver dress for you then.
Oh,
I was going to wear it tonight, but I'll wear it tomorrow
night. Thank you.